Disney. 5 minute sleepy time stories. Disney, Pixar, Toy Story 4, Ducky and Bunny's Big Plan by Suzanne Francis. Every day was a new adventure for Bo Peep, Woody, and their friends. They traveled from town to town, helping toys. Bo had collected many useful items for this task, but her sticky hand was one of her favorites. It was very handy for getting around. With a whirl and a whip, she could fling the sticky hand high up in the air and zip from place to place. But one day, the sticky hand went missing. Bo rummaged through her skunkmobile. She found paper clips, rubber bands, a roll of tape, but no sticky hand. "Nothing else seems to be missing," said Officer Giggle McDimples, peering into the skunkmobile. "Where did you last see it?" asked Woody. "I remember using it by the Star Adventurer booth," said Bo. Ducky and Bunny raced over at the mention of their old game booth. "Oh, we know the Star Adventurer booth well," said Bunny. Ducky scowled. "And the guy who runs it." "Yeah, he's gotta know where it is," said Bunny. "He's always taking toys and putting them on his prize wall." The plush toys would never forget the day the Star Adventurer booth employee stuck Buzz Lightyear on the prize wall, knocking them from the top prize spot. "Oh, do we have a plan for you," said Ducky. First, Ducky and Bunny explained, they would need a distraction. The skunkmobile, driven by Bo's sheep, Billy, Goat, and Gruff, was perfect for the job. "That'll keep the balloon person busy," said Ducky. "While we hop on a flight," added Bunny. "Ding! Going up," Ducky sang. Next, Ducky and Bunny said, they would survey the area for the sticky hand. "From up above, we can see the whole carnival," said Ducky. "Yeah," said Bunny, pointing down below. "We even see some kid eating cotton candy at the top of the Ferris wheel. It's sticking to his hair and all over his chin," said Ducky, laughing and getting distracted. Guys, interrupted Woody. Ducky and Bunny paused and frowned as they looked over at Woody. "How will that help us find the missing sticky hand?" Woody asked. "We are getting there," said Bunny. "Next, we float toward the Star Adventurer booth," said Ducky. "When the time is right, we pop the balloon." "Plush Rush!" they cheered. "We scream, 'Give up the stick hand, you thief!'" Bunny said. Ducky laughed and added, "Yeah, hand it over, Game Boy, or we'll..." "I don't think so," said Bo, bringing them back to reality. Bo and Giggle McDimples stood there, shaking their heads. This was not a good idea, and everybody knew it. The plush rush would never work. Ducky and Bunny shrugged. "Yeah, you're right," said Ducky. "No plush rush." But they had another plan.
"First, we leave a trail for the Star Adventurer guy to follow," explained Bunny.
"It leads into the fun house," said Ducky. "And right into our trap," added Bunny with a giggle.
"We follow him through the twirling tube," said Ducky.
"And into the House of Mirrors," said Bunny.
"We wait until he's lost inside the mirror maze," said Ducky. "He has no idea what's coming next."
"We corner him," shouted Bunny, "and give him our hypnotic stare down, then..."
"Wait," interrupted Duke Kaboom. He rode over to Ducky and Bunny on his motorcycle. He had a question about this plan.
"You two really know how to hypnotize someone?" he asked.
Ducky and Bunny looked deep into Duke's eyes and nodded.
"Whoa," said Duke with a gulp.
Bo smiled at the outrageous plan. "You know, it's really not that big of a deal. I can find another sticky hand." Ducky and Bunny shook their heads. They were determined to present Bo with the perfect plan.
"Here's our 100% will absolutely work, impossible to fail plan," shouted Ducky.
"Oh yeah," said Bunny. "This is it."
Ducky and Bunny were proud of themselves. They knew they had the best idea this time. Once they were sure everyone was paying attention, Ducky took the lead, telling the group their new plan.
"Step one, we climb into our time machine," he started.
"We go back," said Bunny.
"Way back," said Ducky, "to the days of dinosaurs and hot lava and..."
Giggle cleared her throat. Guys? She knew Ducky and Bunny were getting carried away again. But she had her own idea of how to complete this mission and retrieve the sticky hand.
"What?"
shouted Ducky and Bunny, irritated by yet another interruption.
"I've cracked the case," Giggle announced.
The friends all looked to see where Giggle was pointing. It was the sticky hand,
stuck to Bunny's back.
It had been fixed to his fur the whole time.
"Kaboom!" cheered Duke.
Bunny yelped as Bo peeled it from his fur. Ducky looked over at Bunny.
"How did that happen?" he said. "I guess you weren't paying attention again."
Bunny frowned.
"Or you put it there and you forgot."
"Why would I put a sticky hand on your back?" asked Ducky. Ducky and Bunny continued to bicker as Bo swung the sticky hand above her head, winding up for their next big adventure.
Disney, Frozen 2, Family Game Night by Suzanne Francis. The sun began to set as the castle bell rang over Arendelle, signaling the end of another day. Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, and Olaf had been looking forward to hearing that lovely sound for hours. Life had been very busy, but there was one thing they always made time for. Family game night. They quickly wrapped up their day's work, eager to spend the evening together. The friends gathered inside the castle, and Olaf immediately launched into a game of charades. "I'll go first," he said. In a flash, the snowman had rearranged himself so he looked like a pig. "How about we try a different game tonight?" said Anna. Olaf was happy to try something new. "So, what should we play?" he asked. Elsa suggested playing Steve Hicks in the courtyard. "One person is it, and if you get tagged, you stand still like a statue," she explained. "But if someone else touches you, you're free to run again." Freeze tag under the stars sounded wonderful. Kristoff, Anna, and Olaf raced around the courtyard. But just moments later, Elsa reached out and accidentally froze their feet in place. "Oops," she said. "I didn't mean to do that." Elsa thought maybe someone else should be it. Anna was happy to volunteer. Anna tagged Kristoff, forcing him to stand still as a statue. When Olaf tried to release Kristoff, she tagged him too. Just as Anna was about to tag Elsa, Anna's slippers froze to the ground again. Elsa smiled, embarrassed. "Maybe we should try another game." Anna eagerly suggested one of her favorite board games, chess. "We can play on teams," she exclaimed. As they played, Anna became more and more enthusiastic. She couldn't help interjecting when she saw Kristoff and Olaf make a move. Then she reached over and nudged their piece into an even better position. Elsa pushed one of their rooks forward 3 spaces, and Anna flinched. Elsa pulled the rook back to its place, and Anna nodded in approval. Before long, Anna was playing for both sides. Family game night had turned into watch Anna play chess night. When she finally realized it, she looked up at them with a sheepish smile. "I guess I got carried away," she said. "This isn't working either, is it?" They turned to Kristoff. It was his turn to pick a game. "I thought you'd never ask," he said with a big grin. "We're going to need some space." Kristoff led them to the ballroom. He explained a game he used to play with his troll family called Roots and Treetops. "And it's not about winning or losing," he added. "Nobody loses," Kristoff continued. "Everybody wins." The game required creativity, balance, and coordination. They tried and tried to follow Kristoff's instructions, but they toppled down each and every time. Kristoff could see his game was not working either. "Let's think over a snack," said Anna. She, Kristoff, and Elsa went to the kitchen, but Olaf had a different idea. He wandered off and went to the place where he knew he could always get answers, the library. When Anna, Elsa, and Kristoff finished their snack, they realized Olaf had disappeared. "Where did he go?" asked Elsa. They knew it wasn't like him to miss a minute of game night. "I've got it," said Kristoff. "He's playing hide and seek." "Oh," Anna said, "we haven't played that in forever." "Ready or not, here we come," called Anna. They began searching through the dark, quiet castle, looking for the little snowman. The floors creaked, and shadows appeared on the walls. Playing hide and seek at night was eerie and fun. They peered around corners, behind doors, and under furniture. There were so many places to look. Then, something strange happened. Elsa went missing. Anna and Kristoff decided to split up and continue searching the castle for Olaf and Elsa. Suddenly, Anna paused. It was oddly quiet and still. Anna darted around looking for Kristoff and discovered he had vanished too. She felt a rush of excitement as she walked through the library, wondering where her friends were hiding. Anna slowly opened a small cabinet door and found everyone stuffed inside. They laughed as stacks of books poured out of the cabinet. "Olaf, you rearranged hide and seek," Anna said with a chuckle. "Everyone had to find you. What a fun new game." "I couldn't have done it without the help of these guys," Olaf said, smiling at his stack of books. "Books are so delightfully distracting." "I'll hide this time," said Anna. "You guys count." Elsa and Kristoff climbed out, ready to play Olaf's reverse hide and seek again. "Oh, I can hide again," said Olaf as he snuggled down and buried his nose deeper in his book. "I still have one chapter left."
Disney, Mickey and Friends. Mickey and the Kitten Sitters, adapted from the book Mickey Mouse and the Kitten Sitters, published by Random House. "Guess what?" Mickey Mouse said to his nephews, Morty and Ferdy. "We're going to watch Minnie's kitten Figaro while she visits her cousin. Isn't that exciting?" Before Morty and Ferdy could answer, they heard wild clucking, flapping, and crowing coming from next door. Suddenly, Pluto raced across the lawn. A big, angry rooster followed close behind him. "Pluto!" Minnie scolded. "Chasing chickens again? Aren't you ashamed?" Pluto was a bit ashamed, but only because he had let the rooster bully him. Mickey picked up Figaro. They were going to have such a fun night. Mickey waved goodbye to Minnie. Figaro meowed. "It's a good thing Figaro is staying with you," Minnie told Mickey as she got into her car. "Maybe he can teach Pluto how to behave." Minnie was hardly out of sight when Figaro leapt out of Mickey's arms and scampered into the kitchen. With one quick hop, he jumped onto the table and knocked over a pitcher of cream. Pluto growled at the kitten. but Mickey just cleaned up the mess. "Take it easy, Pluto," he said. "Figaro is our guest." At dinner time, Pluto ate his food the way a good dog should. But no matter how hard Mickey and the boys tried, Figaro wouldn't touch the special food Minnie had left for him. At bedtime, Figaro would not use the cushion Minnie had brought for him. Instead, he got into bed with Ferdy and tickled his ears. Finally, he bounced off to the kitchen. "Uncle Mickey," called Morty, "did you remember to close the kitchen window?" "Oh, no," cried Mickey, jumping out of bed. The kitchen window was open, and Figaro was nowhere to be seen. Mickey and the boys searched the entire house. They looked upstairs and downstairs, under every chair, and even in the yard. But they couldn't find the little kitten anywhere. "You two stay here," Mickey told his nephews. "Pluto and I will find Figaro." Mickey and Pluto went to Minnie's house first, but Figaro wasn't there. Next, they went to the park down the street.
"Have you seen a little black and white kitten?" Mickey asked a policeman.
"I certainly have," answered the policeman. "He was teasing the ducks by the pond."
Mickey and Pluto hurried to the pond. Figaro wasn't there, but they did find some small muddy footprints. Mickey and Pluto followed the trail of footprints to Main Street, where they met a grocery truck driver.
"Have you seen a kitten?" Mickey asked.
"Have I?" cried the driver. "He knocked over my eggs."
Mickey groaned as he paid for the eggs.
Where was Figaro?
Mickey and Pluto searched the whole town, but there was no sign of the kitten. By the time they returned home, the sun was starting to rise. Soon, Minnie drove up.
"Where is Figaro?" she asked.
No one answered.
"Something has happened to him," Minnie cried. "Can't I trust you to watch one sweet little kitten?"
Just then, there was a loud clucking from the yard next door. A dozen frantic hens came flapping over the fence with Figaro close behind.
"There's your sweet little kitten," exclaimed Mickey. "He ran away last night and teased the ducks in the park. Then he broke the eggs in the grocery truck and now he's chasing chickens," Minnie finished.
"I had hoped Figaro would teach Pluto some manners," Minnie said. "Instead, Pluto has been teaching him to misbehave."
"Pluto didn't do anything wrong," Ferdy said.
But Minnie wouldn't listen. She picked up Figaro and quickly drove away.
"Don't worry, boys," said Mickey. "We'll tell her the whole story later, when she's not so upset."
"Please don't tell her too soon," begged Morty.
"As long as Aunt Minnie thinks Pluto is a bad dog, we won't have to kitten-sit Figaro."
Mickey smiled and said, "Maybe we should wait a little while. We could all use some peace and quiet." And with that, he and Pluto settled down for a well-deserved nap.
Disney, Lady and the Tramp, Scamp the Hero. Adapted by Annie Auerbach from the book Our Hero Scamp. Published by Egmont.
"Be careful, Scamp," Lady called as she watched her son dash across the yard. "Don't bounce the ball too hard."
Lady, Tramp, and their four puppies were playing together outside their home. Scamp, the only boy puppy, was just like his father, always looking for an adventure. After they finished playing ball, Scamp asked to visit the park by himself. "All right," Tramp told his son, "but be careful." "I will," promised Scamp. Scamp bounded out past the fence and onto the sidewalk. There was so much to see beyond his yard. He stopped to watch cars that were honking and beeping at one another. He thought about chasing them, but he remembered his promise to his father. Scamp was determined to not get into any trouble. But it wasn't long before trouble found him. Scamp passed an alley where a pack of big dogs were snarling at a little white poodle. The frightened puppy was backed up against a fence. She couldn't escape. "Stay away from me," the little poodle cried. Scamp knew he had to help. He certainly couldn't fight the other dogs, but how else could he scare them away? Then, Scamp had an idea. He carefully crept behind a trash can and pushed it over. Clang, clunk, crash! The noise frightened the big dogs away. His trick had worked. Unfortunately, he also made a big mess. Garbage was everywhere. But Scamp was more worried about the fluffy white poodle. "Don't be frightened," he told her. "I'm friendly." "My name is Princess," the poodle said, "and you're my hero." Scamp liked being someone's hero. "Why were those dogs bothering you?" asked Scamp. "Because they wanted this," said Princess. She pulled something out from behind a box. "Wow!" exclaimed Scamp. It was the biggest bone he'd ever seen. Princess offered to share the bone with Scamp. But before they could start chewing on it, two police officers walked down the alley. Scamp and Princess quickly hid. Scamp noticed the officers pointing to the garbage can he had tipped over. Uh-oh, he thought. Scamp was worried he'd be taken to the pound if they caught him. Then his parents would never let him go out on his own again. "Let's get out of here," Scamp whispered to Princess. The two puppies bolted away as the policeman examined the messy alleyway. Scamp and Princess raced down a hill and into the park. But all that running had made the puppies very thirsty. Scamp hid the bone beneath a few leaves. "Let's get a drink of water before we have this," he suggested. "It will be safe here." But when they got back, Scamp saw that a gardener had raked the bone into a big pile of leaves. Scamp sprang into action. He dove straight into the leaves to get the bone back.
"Hey, stop that!" yelled the gardener.
Before the gardener could catch him, Scamp grabbed the bone. He and Princess ran away once again, scattering leaves everywhere. Scamp sure was getting into a lot of trouble. Just then, Princess spotted a stern-looking police dog. He seemed to be searching for something. "Maybe he's looking for us because of all the trouble I've caused," Scamp said. He thought about running away again, but then he remembered his promise to his parents. He knew what he had to do. Scamp bravely stepped toward the police dog, carrying the giant bone.
"What's going on here?" the police dog asked.
"I made a mess in the alley and scattered the gardener's pile of leaves," Scamp said. But the police dog wasn't listening to Scamp. He was inspecting every inch of Princess's bone.
"Yes, I think this is it," he announced.
"What?" Scamp asked.
"Let me explain," said the police dog. "Last night, there was a robbery at the museum."
"What did the thief take?" asked Scamp.
"A giant bone from our dinosaur skeleton," answered the police dog. He looked seriously at Scamp and Princess. "That bone was exactly like this one."
"Where did you get it?" "I didn't steal it," Princess exclaimed. "I found it in an alley." "Maybe the real thief hid the bone there," suggested Scamp. The police dog thought Scamp might be right.
"Come with me," he said.
Meanwhile, Lady and Tramp were out looking for Scamp. He had been gone for a long time and they couldn't find him anywhere. They searched the park, but Scamp wasn't there. Then they went to the pond where Scamp loved to chase the ducks, but Scamp wasn't there. They even went to Tony's restaurant, but Scamp wasn't there either. Lady and Tramp were starting to get very worried. Finally, as they were walking along Main Street, they heard someone shout, "Scamp, look over here!" Tramp froze in his tracks. He saw a crowd of excited people at the museum down the street. The pair ran inside, hoping to find their son. Lady and Tramp saw Scamp right away. Photographers were taking pictures of him and a white puppy. "What's going on here?" Tramp asked Lady.
"I don't know," Lady replied, "but I'm just happy that Scamp is all right."
When Scamp noticed his parents, he and Princess ran over to them. "I'm sorry I didn't come straight home," Scamp told them, "but we had to help the police solve a robbery." "Your son's a hero," said Princess. Tramp grinned.
"That's my boy."
Princess was the one who found the stolen bone, Scamp said. He wasn't used to so much attention. The director of the museum cleared his throat to make an announcement.
"Ahem. To thank our little heroes, we've prepared a feast."
He pointed to a long table covered in treats for the puppies. Scamp licked his lips. He had never seen so much delicious food all at once. And there were stacks of bones for him and Princess to enjoy, even if they weren't from a dinosaur.